الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال تعالى فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم لما هو أهله Most respected honorable علماء كرام حفاظ القرآن brothers and elders السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We are living in a time and an age where the importance of security is well known to every one of us. And in a country that's ridden with crime and related issues, then security is a booming industry. And the importance of the commodity that needs to be protected in due proportion will be beef up our security. And we don't mind spending that extra buck. We wouldn't mind spending that extra for security because we know if there is going to be any mishap, then those losses and to deal with the trauma in the aftermath will cost us more than the loss itself. Sometimes a person can have a very palatial home, but there has to be just one oversight, negligence, there's a break-in, there's a robbery. Then the wife doesn't want to stay in that house anymore. She's living with trauma, she's having nightmares. So a person beefs up his security to avoid all of this. And we don't mind paying that price for security. Person earns and he makes long efforts for his livelihood to earn some money to see to the requirements, comforts of himself and his family. And that money is stolen. If that money is stolen, then a person is really heartbroken. So much, and a person just walks in, few people, automatic rifles, hat in hand, allow the person to take everything. And how unfortunate, and wouldn't it be that the person makes a year's effort and it only takes one holiday to lose that iman? He's making an effort on that iman of his consolidating. And it takes, as Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali so beautifully used to say, especially for our youngsters, he says, a moment of pleasure, but a lifetime of regrets. You'll enjoy that moment. You had that high. You were really flying. But when you crash landed, you can't really find your feet again. You can't walk anymore. You are flying so high, you can't walk anymore. So it was just that one moment of negligence. Or one moment, and he said, let me just give it a try and a taste. And that iman was slowly lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that the season that we are going through, there may be a lot out in the market, whether it be in the form of holidays, entertainment, it may just be an innocent get-together or a getaway with matriculants. But are we vigilant of exactly where they are, who's the friends? Is he an influencer or influenced? Who's his group, who's his clique? Where is he going? Is it all fine? It can be an innocent sleepover. Sometimes it's an innocent cartoon that the children are watching, and slowly that Muslim identity is being lost. Because there's a message behind that cartoon. It's not just entertainment. The person who's edited, the person who's publishing, the person who's making and creating those cartoons, he's got an agenda. it's not only business. It's more than just the business. That's about usurping, stealing the hard efforts of us as parents on our children, the efforts that we make on our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that this is the time we beef up the security for our iman. But the first question before the security for our iman, the first question, how important is iman to me? If I am traveling, is iman in the back seat and entertainment first? So the time of salah comes and no, hey listen, how can all these guys be inconvenienced with me performing salah? So entertainment comes first. Oh, the luxury comes first. If my salah comes first, irrespective, then that's a true Muslim. That wherever I may be, I'll spread out my musalla and I'll perform salah. Yes, keeping in mind the comfort of others without causing any disturbance and taklif to others. Yes, I'll perform my salah. I need to be vigilant with regards to my identity as a Muslim, with regards to my scruples as a Muslim. I need to uphold my values that halal is halal, not negotiable. Even if I'm flying, wherever I may be, if it means me surviving on water and juice only, I'll survive on that until I get to my destination. Because the preservation of my iman is foremost, not the desires of my stomach. So I need to ask myself, how important is my iman? Am I so worried and concerned about my iman? Or is it that sometimes we look for such holidays, getaways, spots to go around the world where perhaps, you know, and alas, the place you chose, you know, so unique, and your neighbor or someone from the gam is there. And then your wife thought, listen, drop all guards. Alhamdulillah, there's no one to see us from South Africa. And lo and behold, there's someone from your gam and say, hey, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed bhai. Allahu Akbar, salam here also. I thought in Greece you won't see anyone. And he's here also. But besides that, am I not aware to the fact, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara? If I can keep this as my motto of the season and this holiday, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara? Are you not aware of the fact that Allah is beholds you? Allah is watching you. Allah knows what you're doing. Sometimes we're so strict, vigilant, righteous, pious in our land, in South Africa. We look for those opportunities where we can just be free. Just do what we need to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we understand the importance of this iman. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, Allahumma thabbitna ala iman. Ya Allah, keep me steadfast on my iman. The embodiment of iman is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is teaching us the dua, thabbitna ala iman. Ya Allah, keep me steadfast on my iman. I'm worried and I'm concerned. Dua of the Quran, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana la tuzigh, Ya Allah, don't deviate that heart of mine. Ya Allah, don't turn it away from the hidayat you've already blessed me with. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Mayus Patel rahmatullah alayhi, very balanced personality we all are of here and familiar. But he used to explain, especially in these seasons that would come, holiday, he would always remind and say, brothers, you want to go for holiday, it's permissible. You can go for a holiday, have a break, no problem. But remember, you're a Muslim first. And he would say, "Qul siru fil ard," in the breadth of the world, but go with the eye to take a lesson. Fanzur, I'm going to learn the lessons of my travel. Wherever I'm going, there's going to be a lesson for me. There would be some quality I can glean from someone. I can get the quality of a people of another country, other grouping or whatever it may be, that we learn the qualities of others. Annasu ma'adin, people are like mines. Everyone's got good. You'll have to dig and mine very deep to find it. The deeper you go, the more valuable the commodity you're going to extract. And everyone's got good. Annasu ma'adin. So Sulaiman alayhi salam was traveling. And we can take lesson from this dua of his. In his travel with his army, one of the ants announced to the other, familiar, we all know Surah An-Naml. And he announces to the other ants that be careful, Sulaiman alayhi salam is traveling with his army. Be careful, he does not trample upon us. With the permission of Allah, bi-idhnillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Sulaiman alayhi salam to hear that whisper or that speech of that ant. And what was his immediate response and dua? He hears the speech of the creation and the ant. Immediately, Sulaiman alayhi salam makes a dua, and that's the dua when we traveling, we can recite this dua and keep the message in mind. He makes dua to Allah, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. Rabbi awzi'ni, umay Allah, grant me the tawfiq and the ability that I thank you for the bounties you have blessed me, showered me and my parents. Ya Allah, the bounties you have blessed me with, grant me that ability that I make shukr. When we are grateful of the bounties of Allah, that's the strongest security for any bounty. When you thank Allah, Allah increases. So a person wants to enjoy the luxury of traveling and he's enjoying business class, no problem. But at that time, he must thank Allah. Ya Allah, this is from you. It's not my business acumen. It's not my hard work. Ya Allah, it's you that you have blessed me with this. Person is gone for Umrah. It's not my saving for the year. It's not that, you know, I'm one of the selected souls. Perhaps that's a test. Allah is bringing you here to see whether you appreciate these lands. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya. And how many of the favors of Allah we will enjoy in travel, the people of Gaza don't enjoy at home. On travel we enjoy such amazing food that the people of Gaza would enjoy in their homes, perhaps haven't eaten for months. So thank Allah for those bounties, number one. Number two, he says, O my Allah, grant me the tawfiq wa an a'mala salihan tarda, that I do such actions that will be pleasing to you. That all the time I'm vigilant. Whatever I'm going to do, is my Allah happy? Is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy with these actions of mine? And number three, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ صَالِحِينَ. Ya Allah, enter me, usher me amongst your servants and slaves that are upright and pious, the importance of pious company. Nabi Sam said, الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِ. A person is on the religion of his friend. الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِ. That the person is on the religion of his brother. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلِ. Be very wary, be careful of who you befriend. Perhaps he will pave a path and you'll follow. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the highest is that he'll influence you in your religion. Sometimes a person can be influencing his lifestyle. You're living in a certain estate and a compound and everyone has upgraded their car to a certain brand. You're not yet there. You don't have the financial muscle for that. But because everyone is doing it, I have to do it. It's pressure. The wife is saying, I mean, everyone is already driving a certain brand, and what about me? I'm still in this brand. I'm not yet upgraded. And we always want to get better. وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If we were the correct clique and group, that will either influence us towards Allah or against Allah. If you're with certain people, you just want to perform salah. Because everyone is dressed accordingly, everyone's thought and focus is salah. And then you with certain cliques let you like odd, you know, if you say salah brothers, okay, we wait for you, you carry on. Then the next time you even scared to say, can we go for salah? I mean, everything like carries on like normal. You know, you want to choose the time where you want to eat, so the salah is not interfered. So salah is performed on time. And then you grow out with this clique and there's no concern of salah. Now, if you with that clique, you naturally will feel, it's okay, man. When I go home, I will perform. I generally don't miss my salah in the masjid. But because of that influence, you will miss it. الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. One is us as parents, be careful of our clique. And even with regards to our children. The incidents that the ulama are dealing with at present is so shocking. Allah protect everyone. One of the recent ones, when one brother came and said, Mulana, this is the information we got, certain youngster, this is the problem. Like, you know, you're shocked, you sure can't be. You know, I know the father. No, he's always in the masjid. That boy can never be. I'm still shell-shocked, I can't believe it. Never mind, we'll make dua, inshallah he changes. But no, he's gone too far down the line, we don't know how to detox. Ya Allah. And he's lost. And the father is still in denial. He says, no, my son is eating, he's at home, he's doing the work, I give him errands and everything is fine. Still in denial. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for the world to crumble? You're waiting for the trumpet to be blown and you want to see the results? Come on, the message is on the wall, you can see it. Everyone is telling you, you're still in denial. We have to be very, very vigilant with regards to our children in this season. You won't even know how that parcel is coming. Sometimes you wouldn't even know who's that person who influenced him. The click that you last thought about. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu goes to Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi Sam is asking Sahaba radiallahu anhu, O Umar, hal anta muballighun anni? O Umar, would you please pass on a message for me? Go to the captives of the Muslim captives in Makkah Mukarramah. Please pass on a message. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no disrespect, please forgive me. I don't have family support structure for me to enter Makkah Mukarramah. Please choose someone else. So Nabi Sam said, no problem. Uthman radiallahu anhu comes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got the family structure, I've got support, I can do it, no problem. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu goes and he is going to negotiate with the chieftains of Makkah Mukarramah. There's a certain class he's going to speak to. Now, this is a very high class people. When he goes, Aban ibn Sa'id is giving him refuge. He says, listen, you're under my protection. And we would go to the chieftains and the leaders and we would negotiate, speak, and no problem, you're with me, you're under my protection. So as they go in, Aban ibn Sa'id says, Uthman, please, you know, we're not going to any ordinary people, we're going to a class of people. These are really looked up to, these chiefs. Listen, your pants is 3/4, try and put that pants a little bit lower down. Mani araka mutakhashyan. Why are you wearing your pants like this, like a little bit below the ankles? Why you got it so high above your ankles? So he says, listen, this is how my Habib Salasam wears it, and this is not negotiable. This is my identity as a Muslim. No matter who is in front of me, I don't change my identity. He can be the billionaire and the millionaire. If he wants to accept and he wants to deny, Allah is Razzaq. Allah will see to me. And Allah will accept if he does want to, if he is going to refuse. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood that that Muslim identity is my protection. If I dress as a Muslim, it stops me and bars me from certain things. I can't do certain things because they all will say it's a Muslim doing it. And to a certain extent you shy. Like, listen, I can shame myself and my family, but not Allah and the deen. Like, imagine people who say a Muslim did it. So we want to protect ourselves. The garb as a Muslim, the dress code of a Muslim, that's one important security for ourselves, security for our iman. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, As ibn Wa'il radiallahu anhu was the governor in Egypt. So he was in the lands of Egypt. They had laid siege, a lot of captives in the area of Alexandria. So the leader came up, non-Muslim, and he negotiated with As. And he says, please, can Hazrat As radiallahu anhu, can you please allow our captives, we'll pay you the jizya, whatever is the penalty or the money is to be levied, money is down, we'll pay. But please, just give freedom to our captives. So he says, no problem, I don't mind that, but I have to write to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So he wrote to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, the leader and the Khalifa Amir al-Mu'mineen, responded and said in the affirmative, by all means, we will give them that option, the scope of the ahadith, give it to them. So the leader of the Muslims, in Egypt, he calls this kafir and he says, on one condition, every Christian that's going to be freed, before his freedom, I put an option in front of him. And that option is, if you want to become a Muslim, you are at liberty to become a Muslim and join us. But if you choose to remain a Christian, then you pay the jizya, the monies that have to be levied, you'll pay it, and then you're free. But if you choose to be Muslim, there is nothing to be paid, you embrace the deen of Islam. So the leader of the Christians is elated, he is very happy, he says, what better could we have ever asked for? Freedom on this, I mean, every Christian will want to remain a Christian. So he's very happy, the captives are called in, and one by one, we are giving them this option. And majority of the captives chose to be Muslim. Majority chose. In particular, the historians speak about a person by the name of Abu Maryam. Abu Maryam, why you in particular? His mother was crying. She kneeled down and says, please, my son, don't disgrace me. Become a Christian. Come back to us. How can you become a Muslim? Brothers are putting pressure. Father is... he's exerting pressure. He says, listen, if you want to be the heir to the throne, you'll have to become a Christian. You'll have to come back. You'll have to remain a Christian. But he was steadfast and strong, and he says, I was Muslim for the values and the qualities I see in the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Islam I see in their lives, these are the people I want to emulate. And you will never believe it. Sometimes just the dress code of a Muslim will intrigue someone, and he'll ask you a question. Brother, why do you dress like this? Like, who are you and where you come from and how come? And you will perform salah perhaps in a plane with permission in a certain designated area. And they ask you, brother, what are you doing? And that would be that first match that we will light, and later on he'll become a Muslim, inshallah. And how many, isn't there an incident of people who have embraced the Islam and become Muslims just because of the amal, the actions of a Muslim? So I, as a Muslim, when I am traveling, I need to be careful and on guard. I am a branded ambassador of Islam. I am a Muslim. And see, whatever comes, if a person, whether I'm in a flight, at the station, people are watching me. Either I am going to attract someone to the deen of Islam, or either I'm going to sway someone away from the deen of Islam. And I need to be very careful and cautious. If I'm going to be raging and ranting in the queues, and as a Muslim, and dressed as a Muslim, or people know my identity as a Muslim, they say, these are how Muslims behave. These are how Muslims behave. They're not going to take your name. They're not going to look at which country you come from. They will class you and say, these are how Muslims behave. Because they know we are an ummah. We are a collective body. We all belong to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the company is important for the protection of our iman. Our dress code and our garb is another way of protecting our iman in this season and in this time. We have to be careful, our company and our dress code. And the third important is with regards to halal. As much as possible, or rather, this is not even negotiable. It's either halal or it's not. If it's not halal, I will not eat it. Imam Bukhari, rahimullah, why did he become Imam Bukhari? Ahmad ibn Hafs, who was the friend of the father of Imam Bukhari, Ismail, he went to visit Ismail, because Imam Bukhari's name was Muhammad ibn Ismail, Muhammad the son of Ismail. Ahmad ibn Hafs goes to visit his friend, the father of Imam Bukhari, Ismail, on deathbed. And as he enters, he speaks to him, and in the discussion, the father had mentioned, he says, wallahi, he says, oh my friend, let me tell you, wallahi, la a'lamu min mali dirhaman min haram, wala dirhaman min shubhatin. I ensure that my earnings were never, ever haram. Forget about haram, never even tainted with doubtful sources. If it was doubt, it was left out. And that is why the result and the fruit was the son Imam Bukhari, who was second to none in the field of hadith. And his kitab is the most authentic after the Quran Sharif, Sahih al-Bukhari. But what gave birth to all of this? It was him being upright, careful, guarded with regards to his halal earnings. Sometimes we're so busy in business, so busy, we wouldn't realize down the line that the children will run you up the pole so high and so badly, you wouldn't know where you went wrong, but perhaps it was in your earnings. Perhaps it was in your earnings. One of the senior ulama, dealing with a lot of cases in Durban, and when we were talking around the table, then he said, "Mulana, Mulana, yaad rakhiye, remember this point. There's a lot of cases I'm dealing with. The father is very good. Comes to the masjid, I see him 5 times daily salah. Perhaps he's also tahajjud guzar, he's reading tahajjud also. But his downfall is his earnings, because of which his children are running him up the pole. Because of his earnings. And this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Muhammad was his name. Very particular about his earnings. Ensuring wherever and whatever he earned was 100% halal. When he had to, time for marriage had come and he had to get married, he ensured that no one paid his mahar. He says, every single cent I pay to my wife has to be halal, because my children have to be upright. No one pays it. I don't trust anyone's earning. It's only going to, when I've got the money, then only I get married. Anyway, he got married. Allah blessed him with a beautiful son in the... His name eventually was, he was known as Imam al-Haramain, the Imam of the two Harams, eloquent, blessed with speech. He was someone who really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him, you know, how he knew how to articulate himself in any debate. And here comes a debate and he had to stand in the front and he was discussing and debating with the opposite party. And that was the first debate he went into a bout of stutter. As he's talking, and brothers are shocked. You see, Imam al-Haramain, we never stuttered. And this is the first time you just had that bout of a stutter and you continued. And he was flowing and running after that. So one of the attendants and disciples comes up to Imam al-Haramain after the debate. He says, Imam sir, this is the first time ever we heard you stutter. You know, you're blessed with that eloquence and speech, and that you got the gift. But this was the first moment. What happened? He says, perhaps it's the effects of that one sip. And he left it. So the brothers came after, late in the night, and said, Imam, you spoke about a sip. We're not understanding. What sip are you talking about? He says, when I was an infant child, my mother was busy with work. So busy, I was crying. And the neighbor's slave was in the house. Mother was so preoccupied with her work, she really forgot about me. The slave took me, and to comfort me, she put me onto her breast. I latched onto her breast and I started drinking milk. My father saw what happened after a few moments, because he heard the commotion, or rather the cries. He came to comfort me and he saw that I was suckling. Now this is a child suckling without any intention from the slave girl. And he says, Astaghfirullah. He grabbed his child, grabbed his son. He held him upside down. He put his finger into his mouth. He said, this slave girl does not belong to me. And the master hasn't sought permission to breastfeed my child. This is not permissible. Even if permissibility is sought later on, permission is sought later on, it's too late. It's now we need it. Immediately he made his son vomit whatever perhaps was in the stomach of the child. And then the father tells the son as he grows up, oh my son, please make istighfar for that one sip. Please make istighfar. Wasn't your intention, but make istighfar. We were not guarded with regards to that one sip. What's going to happen to us if it's beyond the sip and it's a whole drink and it's a whole meal? And if it's a whole paycheck? And if it's my whole empire? Then what do we expect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we be very guarded with regards to halal and haram. So few aspects, as we said, the importance of protecting our iman in this time. Protection of iman, salah, this will regulate our time. The company, very important, and the dress code, and halal and haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman, the iman of our children, the iman of the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's be very, very vigilant, because the moment we come back to South Africa, or the moment the new year starts, it's hardly going to be a few paces and you're going to be in Ramadan. If we come on a low, then to start Ramadan, we're going to start on a low. We protect our iman in the season, then we will start Ramadan on a high, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman and protect the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.